Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church. Does it look a little different up here? Just a little bit? And why? Today is a very special day. Today we get to start a whole brand new church year. Today is Advent 1. We're looking forward now to Christmas and beyond and what it means. And today, the reason it's all blue is because we look up into the sky the same way we stopped last church year. We're still looking up there. We remind ourselves that Jesus is coming back and that he's going to judge the world. That's what we're going to celebrate today. You'll see that reflected throughout the service. We'll also be celebrating the Lord's Supper, so prepare your mind and heart to receive the body and blood of the Lord together as one. We'll begin our worship this morning with hymn number one. Perfect place to start. May God bless your worship. Stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me.
Amen.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us, and He's given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ, and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come. Protect us by your strength and save us from the threatening dangers of our sins. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. First lesson this morning comes from Genesis chapter 19, where we find out just how serious God is when it comes to this judgment upon sin, but also just how serious He is about deliverance. From Genesis chapter 19. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished." When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, "Flee for your lives. Don't look back and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away." By the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, destroying all those living in the cities, and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and returned to the place where he had stood before the Lord. He looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain, and he saw dense smoke rising from the land, like smoke from a furnace. So when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham, and he brought Lot out of the catastrophe that overthrew the cities where Lot had lived. The word of the Lord. Join together in Psalm 25. The second lesson this morning comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Here Paul is writing a letter wishing that the Thessalonians would be ready for the Lord as he's coming. And as you listen to it, I want you to pretend that Paul is writing this letter personally to you. 1 Thessalonians 3. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. The word of the Lord. Verse of the day reminds us that, yes, we can be assured that he is coming back, from Revelation 22. Alleluia. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Alleluia. Please stand now out of respect for the words of Jesus. The gospel lesson for this morning comes from Luke chapter 21. Here we see that Jesus wants us to be ready for that last day, and so he gives us some signs to watch out for. From Luke 21. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. The Gospel of the Lord. We now confess our faith publicly together, according to the words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us, for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated for the hymn of the day, hymn number 2. grace is yours from our loving Father, who is compassionate and merciful. Amen. Sermon text for today comes from the first lesson, Genesis chapter 19. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your deliverance. Amen. All right, whatever you do right now, do not look back into the church lobby. Wow, all right, good job. Not one person looked back. Very impressed. I thought there would be at least one. Why? Because when somebody tells you don't look somewhere, where do you want to look? You want to look exactly where you're told not to look. And why? Curiosity, right? I wonder what's back there. Why is he saying that? And so you look back, but you didn't. Good job. But looking back in that way isn't just the only way that you'd get in trouble, though. If you're moving forward, probably also not a good idea to look back, right? If you're running or moving forward or walking or wherever you're going. I don't know how many times I have seen Gideon start running somewhere and looking back, and bam, runs into something, usually a wall. Exactly. I think he heard his name. You look at him and he sees, recognizes, I shouldn't have done that. Like, you okay, buddy? Yeah. Should you maybe have been looking forward where you were going? Yeah. And you and I do that too sometimes, and I'm not talking physically, though we may do that too. But what I'm talking about is as we live our Christian lives. Are you looking forward, or should I say, is your heart looking forward, or is it looking back? You and I have a lot to look forward to. That's what we're celebrating. We celebrated at the end of the church year. We're celebrating it today. We're looking forward to Christ coming back. What a day to look forward to. Christ is going to come back. He's going to judge the world, and since you and I trust in his forgiveness, we're going to get not guilty. We're going to live with the Lord forever. We're going to be in peace. We're going to be in happiness. Quite a day to look forward to. And that is why Jesus says in our gospel lesson, it's also on your bulletin cover, at that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. That is quite the day to look forward to. We get to look forward to that final deliverance. And it's fascinating as you take a look at where we are looking forward like that. There are a lot of parallels with where we're at in our lives and what we see with Lot and his family in Genesis 19. I think that's probably why Jesus references it elsewhere, but we'll get to that later. For now, first, let's go to Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, you're not going to hear your pastor say that very often. Let's go to Sodom and Gomorrah. But we'll learn a lot when we go there. And first, what we're going to do is we're going to go to the outside of Sodom and Gomorrah. We're going to go to where Abraham is. Abraham, remember, was there just outside of Sodom and Gomorrah. God appeared to him with a couple of angels and basically reveals to him he's going to destroy the two cities and the whole cities of the plain. Now, Abraham got a little scared because who's living there? His beloved nephew Lot. Doesn't want Lot to get swept away with everything. And so he pleads with the Lord. Lord, if there's 50 righteous people, and then if there's 45, and then if there's 40, and if there's 30, 20, all the way down to 10. Lord, if there's 10 righteous people, will you spare the city? The Lord says, all right, if there's 10 righteous people, I'll spare it. Did the Lord find 10 righteous people? No. In fact, his angels go down there to check it out, and they see firsthand just how wicked the people were. But God was still gracious to Lot and his family. And so he warned them, get out of here. And then Lot warns his sons-in-law. His sons-in-law don't take him all that seriously. They actually kind of laugh at him. And then they kind of waffle. So the angels try to press. You guys, this is really serious. Get going. The angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished." So Lot hurries, grabs his family, and gets out. Right? No, he hesitates. He sits there like, "Oh, I don't know, should we still go?" Why did he hesitate? Maybe he didn't take the threat seriously. Maybe he liked the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah. He was living there after all. We don't know. We're not told. But he hesitates. And very well God could have gone, "All right, smush, flick. I warned you. See you, Lot." But again, God was gracious to Lot. When Lot hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and his two daughters and led them safely out of the city. For the Lord was merciful to them. Lord's grace just keeps going. Do you see yourself and Lot and his family a little bit? I think especially when we consider who we were before we came to faith. I mean, we're talking about not just hesitation in trusting the Lord. We're talking about outright rejection. And yet, what did God do? Took us by the hand, leads us out to safety. He sends his son to die for our sins. He gives us warnings of the wickedness inside of us and around us so we can see the seriousness of it, and he drags us out, kicking and screaming into the kingdom of God. God's grace to us is quite large. These parallels continue too, because the angels, as they lead them out, give them yet another warning. As soon as they had brought them out, one of the angels said, "Flee for your lives. Don't look back. And don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away." Don't look back or you will be swept away by what? By the judgment that's coming. And boy, was it some judgment. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, destroying all those living in the cities and also the vegetation in the land. Why talk about the vegetation? Well, why did Lot choose to live in Sodom and Gomorrah? Abraham gave him the choice. He saw fertile land. And yet even that land was going to be overturned. That's how large the Lord's judgment was going to be upon all of this wickedness. And so they warn him, "Get out of there." You and I feel like, are right there in this story. In this parallel, that's where we are. You and I have been dragged out and now we're fleeing. We're running towards safety. We're looking forward to that final deliverance. Or are we? Are you looking forward to that final deliverance, or are you looking back? Because there was one person in this count that wasn't looking forward to the deliverance. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. How gracious God had been to Lot and his whole family, and then all she does is take a little glance back. And bam, pillar of salt? How does that make sense? How is that fair? If you saw fire and brimstone raining down from heaven, wouldn't you be a little curious to look back too? Ah, but this wasn't a look out of curiosity. This wasn't just a passing glance. This was her looking back with longing in her heart. Sodom had this hold on her heart. She didn't want to leave. She liked that sinful life. She didn't want to see it go. She thought she would miss it. And then bam, she runs into a wall, so to speak. Judgment, pillar of salt, done. And that's why Jesus references it in Luke 17. "It will be just like this on the day of the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who is on the housetop with possessions inside shall go down to get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever tries to keep their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life will preserve it. Do you do the same as Lot's wife? Does your heart get drawn back to your old sinful life instead of that final deliverance? God tells us, I dragged you out, now take a look. Look where you're going. You're going to all this glory. And he gives us warnings. Don't look back. Don't do it. We hear those warnings that Jesus gives, like in the gospel lesson. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. And yet we can still let our hearts get pulled back. We can still think to ourselves, yeah, but I like those sinful pleasures. Yeah, but the money and possessions. Yeah, but the old laziness and the drunkenness and the anxieties that all of those things bring then too. We get drawn back into what this life is about. We think to ourselves, but Lord, I'm going to miss it. Bam! And we run into a wall. Or a pillar of salt, or fire and brimstone, whatever picture you want to think of, the judgment will come and it will be bad. How many times does the Lord have to warn us about the coming judgment? And he takes this one to a whole other level here in Genesis 19 as a warning for you and I. It is widely believed that Sodom and Gomorrah is right along the shore of the Dead Sea. Used to be a fertile land, now it's a Dead Sea, known for being lifeless. Archaeologists have even found a couple of sites that they believe are Sodom and Gomorrah, evidence of great destruction left there, destruction that came by fire. What does God do? What does he have to do to get our attention? Where's your heart looking? Is your heart looking back at that old life? That old sin that he wants you to get rid of? Then turn your head back around. Look to where you're going. Stay focused on that. God has rescued you. He has saved you. And why? Why has he saved you? Why did he save Lot? Was it because of Lot? No, look at what Lot did. Lot hesitated. Lot was married to a woman who was clinging to that immoral life. He had sons-in-law who didn't take God's word seriously. Read through Genesis 19. You'll see just how much Lot got infected by the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. Certainly wasn't because of Lot. God saved Lot, we're told, for two reasons. First, he was merciful. He was compassionate. Secondly, because of that compassion, he remembered Abraham. Abraham was the one who was pleading for Lot. He was the one that was saying, Lord, please spare him. And that's why in this account it actually ends with Abraham and not Lot. It says, early the next morning, Abraham got up and returned to the place where he had stood before the Lord. He looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward the land of the plain, and he saw dense smoke rising from the land, like smoke from a furnace. So when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham, and he brought Lot out of the catastrophe that overthrew the cities where Lot had lived. A lot of parallels in this account with you and me. Why does God save us? It isn't because of us. God be praised for that. You and I, we delight in the sin that we surround ourselves with. You and I hesitate to listen. You and I don't heed the warnings. You and I get drawn back to that old sinful life. God doesn't save us because of us. He saves us because of two reasons. First and foremost, his compassion, his mercy. Where was God's heart looking? Right at you, the whole time. And that's why he sent his son. Reason number two. Someone interceded for us, just like Abraham did with Lot. Jesus did. Jesus interceded for us with every single step of his life. Where was he focused? On you and your deliverance. Jesus is the one who took you by the hand and dragged you to safety. He's the one that points you forward to that last day when he's coming back. Even when you and I are sitting there going, Nope. Look forward when we come on Sunday mornings. Nope. Stay looking forward when we open up his Bible. That sin that I commit. No. Look forward. Don't worry about that. I paid for that. Look forward to the deliverance. When you and I do look back, we run into a wall, little one, says, should you have been looking forward? Yeah. Forgiven. Now focus. So in the meantime, as we're waiting for that last day, what do? We don't look back. We look forward to what's coming. And we can do that immediately with this new church year. Right away, we're going to be looking toward the coming of his son, which proves that God keeps his promises. He came the first time, he'll come again. And everything in between, everything we celebrate in the church year until we get again to that last day, refocuses us. That's what we're doing today. We have a great day to look forward to. So where's your heart looking? By God's grace, it's looking to that day. Amen. Please stand. May the grace of our God focus you on that last day when we will be delivered. Amen. We'll now say a prayer to God, asking for help with a song, Create in Me, found in your bulletins. Seated for our offering. This morning in the prayer of the church, we pray for all of those with health challenges, including David Haugen, Betty Oskin, Myrtle Brown, Audris Tritch, Floyd Ross, and Steve, the friend of Bill and Judy Bass. We also include a prayer for those celebrating birthdays. We pray. Gracious Father, please help everyone who is faced with health challenges this week. Make your power known in their lives, their families' lives, and through their doctors and nurses. Lift their spirits with the resurrection of Christ and the hope of his return. Remind them that Christ's life ensures that someday all of these difficulties will be gone forever. Continue to bless all of those who are celebrating birthdays. Give them many more years to grow in knowledge of you so that they can continue to glorify you in thought, word, and deed. Lord, point our hearts and minds to the last day. Strike us lovingly with fear of the coming judgment, so that we can also look forward to it with the joy of salvation in Christ. Give us the courage to help warn others so that they too can be watchful and ready and be filled with anticipation for Christ's return. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, who also taught us to pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Please stand for the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right so to do.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared when he called people to repentance and pointed to Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song.
Holy, 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 Lord God of heaven.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he broke it, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
Please stand. We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this Holy Supper. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn, Come, O Long Expected Jesus, number 6, hymn number 6. Good morning. Happy new church year. You didn't know if you wanted to say that back to me, did you? Yeah. Stick around today as we continue to look forward to Christ coming through Sunday school and Bible studies. A few announcements here for you. First of all, a big thank you to all of the decorators for this beautiful church. It really looks amazing every time we get to Advent. So thank you so much for those who stuck around and did that last week. Today is also LWMS Mission Box Sunday. You'll see the pink box back there. So didn't want to forget that one. So that's back there. Please put that in your mind and heart to give to that. Today is also the congregational meeting after the second service. So come around, come back for that. I don't know if the marathon will be done by then or not, but it doesn't matter. Come back. We'll be discussing the calling a teacher for the grades 5 through 8, basically stretching out the 60% admin release to 100%. So that's after the second service. Today also we have the Advent by Candlelight, so that's tonight at 6 p.m. If you have any questions for that, please see one of the ladies on the LWMS board. Let's see. Thank offerings. Our envelopes are available there in the back. You'll see them on the table, so grab those. As we look to another church year, we can use those thank offerings to thank our God. Midweek Advent services begin this week as well. This Wednesday, there's 5:30 dinner along with worship at 7 p.m., so get ready for those next three Wednesdays. Christmas services, we got some special schedules coming up for those. Sunday the 23rd, and then Monday and Tuesday, lots of special services. So take a look at the schedule there in the weekly news. And now until then is our big Mighty Warriors push. Okay, I haven't talked to Jim Oswald about how many people have actually talked to him. But remember, our Mighty Warriors is that canvassing group that goes out, and this time we're doing it a little differently. We're going to see how this goes. Not having one particular day. So the onus is on you. If you want to go out, and we hope and pray that you do, so we can reach more people, talk to Jim Oswald. He'll get a packet ready for you, and it really started yesterday until the 15th. That's when we really want to do this push for what's coming up for these Christmas services. So please really do that. There's also postcards in the church lobby. If you wanted to give those to somebody, use those as invitation. We've got a lot of those, so please take those. The theme this year is a light in the darkness, so it fits really well with a lot that's going on. So thanks for putting that on your heart to do as well. Just a note about Jesus Cares Ministries coming up. We had the service in October, and we've been working out trying to find a day that works well for a training for him and for us. And we were going to do it December 10th, but that's pretty short notice. So we decided to change it to January 8th, 9th, or 10th. Get ready if you signed up to help out with that, or if you haven't signed up, let me know. But I'll send out an email to say, all right, what is everybody thinking? I believe that's a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, January 8th, 9th, 10th. So we're going to have a training getting ready for the rollout before Easter. And lastly, we'll ask Chuck Klinker to come up to say something to the congregation.
Well, one more good morning. Thank you. Thank you. Well, as we near the end of the calendar year and the midpoint of St. Mark's fiscal year, I have some updates for the congregation. First off, on our general thank offerings, we're pleased to report that weekly thank offerings are covering our expenses, although we still have a bit of a deficit behind the budgeted income, but our expenses are being covered, and also the small deficit that we had going into this year has been eliminated. So I thank everyone for your generous response in supporting the work here at St. Mark's. Update on our mortgage reduction effort, not without purpose. We are on track to have our mortgage reduced by somewhere in the order of $600,000 to $700,000 by the time we have to refinance in 18 months. This should result in a substantial reduction to our monthly mortgage obligations, reducing the amount of offerings needed for a mortgage, and hopefully this reduced need for mortgage offerings will show an increase in financial support for our ministry plans through our weekly offerings and special offerings. I want to go over a few sources of our financial support. There should be a sheet highlighting those in the back of the church. First, as mentioned, thank offerings. Our main source of financial support, returning a portion of what God gives us in the first place. They provide the basic need to meet our day-to-day expenses, and each of us, as Pastor mentioned, receives a packet of envelopes. They're in the back of the church to take home for making these regular offerings. Of course, there's tuition for students to partially the cost of students going to our school. Talked about our not-without-purpose effort, paying down our mortgage. These are separate from our operating expenses. Many members have made pledges for this debt reduction effort, and these pledges have been paid in lump sums and or a regular monthly offerings. And some of us has not made a specific pledge, but continue to support this effort with regular offerings. And this support is important, as every dollar given over the next 18 months goes directly against the principal payments, further reducing our monthly payments once we refinance. I mentioned we're on the order, it looks like we're going to be $600,000 to $700,000, being able to pay the principal down by that much. The mortgage is somewhere in the order of a little over $1 million, so actually we're within striking distance of virtually eliminating the mortgage if we can keep that support growing to that effort. So encourage everyone in that respect. You may be aware there's a wish list for items such as tables and chairs and general improvements that are not able to make it into the budget. Members may want to support that with an over and above offering. There are special offering envelopes in the back of our envelope packets you can use for that. There also is a compassion fund that people may or may not be aware of to help people in need, especially fellow members. Gifts can be cash, checks, or gift cards. Gift cards can be purchased also through our script program, and you can also use the special offering envelopes here or drop them off at church. And also, lastly, the endowment fund, which is under development. More will come on that after the first of the year, but that'll use income on the funds in the endowment to support a variety of ministry areas that are outside of the budget but important for moving our mission forward. Some other ways of offering. Some of our members use automatic withdrawal. They set up with their bank to have their regular donations automatically transferred to St. Mark's. It helps keep the offerings regularly, especially if we're out of town. People can give gifts of stocks and bonds, especially appreciated stocks and bonds. You can transfer those assets through the Wells Foundation. And these gifts are tax deductible, and also you pay no capital gains on the appreciation on those stocks and bonds if you've been so blessed in that manner. Also, IRA distributions, if you're 70 and a half years old or more, those gifts, if you make them directly to St. Mark's, are federal tax, no federal tax on them, and possibly no state tax on them either. So if you'd like to know more about the ways our ministry plan is funded, some of those things you can talk to me or a member of the Board of Stewardship or one of the pastors. One thing about the envelope and commitment process, you'll see in your envelope packets, there's a white envelope with our commitment card, and also in there are some things to read before you make your commitments to remind you of God's blessings, how we give back, especially ask to look for at the blue sheet, Every Life for Christ, that reminds us that our gifts are to be first fruits, planned and proportionate, generous, and also trusting that God will provide for us whatever we need. So those are in the back of the church. Please pick those up and then return them within the commitments within the next couple of weeks. And a last reminder on time and talents. You've received the time and talents form, and if you haven't yet filled that out, please fill it out and get it back to us. There's a place in the back of the church for that. It's a great way to help you get involved here at St. Mark's in areas of service where you're particularly gifted and in which you have a particular interest. For those of you who work here on Saturdays or during the week, you know it's a great and rewarding way to serve your Lord, and it's great fellowship with the members that are here. So if you have any questions on that, please check in with Penny Boshaw, our time and talents coordinator. There she is, right there.
Some people are just turning in
one page. Okay, so three sheets, and yeah, look for that third sheet. Okay, very good. Well, thank you for your attention, and have a blessed Advent season.